You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Steeler strategy. Mike Tomlin makes a critical decision about his quarterback that could have enormous playoff ramifications. Plus, Aaron Rodgers reveals a secret to his success in the cold and snow. Who has the best chance to beat him in Lambeau? And just in this morning, Justin Fields' draft stock is sliding. Todd McShay's latest player rankings are out, and they reveal a quarterback shakeup at the top. And that could change based on how he does in the college football playoff. We shall see. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's a Wednesday morning. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. A lot to talk about. And take a look at the football crew we have with us this morning. Dominique is here. RC, Desmond Howard, Graz, everybody's in the house. And we got everything to talk about from college to pros. But let us start with the NFL. And big news from Pittsburgh, where Mike Tomlin has decided to rest Ben Roethlisberger on Sunday. Mason Rudolph will start against the Browns in a game that has playoff implications for a lot of teams. Here's Tomlin on the move.
It does not change our intentions in terms of going to Cleveland this weekend. Football is our game. Our job is winning. We intend to do our job. We intend to prepare with that mindset and ultimately let our play lead us to that destination. We're not seeking comfort. And so the guys that will be on the field will represent us in the standard that is the Pittsburgh Steelers will be the standard.
Okay, but not everybody agrees with the move. Here's Swaggoo yesterday on NFL Live.
This team has not looked good. They've played 1.5 quarters of good football in the last month. And I totally understand it. I mean, Ben is 38, right? And you look at these veterans and you want to have guys fresh going into the playoffs. But based on what I've seen from the Pittsburgh Steelers, they need some game plan to get this thing fixed. I would say 1.25 quarters, maybe, and then get them guys out of there. But I would not sit Ben. I wouldn't sit any other starters. I'd give them some reps against the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, it's a tough balance. Do you play him? Do you sit him? Especially based on how they've been playing. Neek, Graz, and RC with us. RC, I'll start with you. Do you think resting Big Ben is the right call, especially when you consider how their offense has been struggling recently?
Yeah, I do think it's the right call. Listen, I wouldn't question Herman Boone for resting Sunshine in this position, so I'm definitely not going to question Mike Tomlin for resting Ben Roethlisberger. Listen, when you look at this season, not having a bye week, also in a season where the playoff seeding changes, number one seed is the only team with the bye. You're playing in empty stadiums, so home field advantage won't necessarily be what it used to be. And so fighting for that second spot in hopes that the Miami Dolphins beat the Buffalo Bills and that you beat the Cleveland Browns, I just don't think it's worth it. I think Mike Tomlin is prioritizing rest for his starting quarterback, for his aging quarterback, for his quarterback that struggled a little bit down the stretch, who hasn't had any rest this season, coming off of an elbow surgery. I think this is the smart thing to do. I believe he understands that winning is his job. Winning is what he's paid for, but it's winning in the playoffs and giving yourself the best opportunity to advance. And this is the decision that Coach Tomlin gives him that best chance.
Neek, what do you think?
So first of all, I appreciate Ryan Clark, RC, for starting off easy for you, Ryan Smith. He gave you a nice softball with the Herman Boone reference. I think you can handle that one. That was nice of you. But I do think that as much as Ben Roethlisberger is important to that team, the strong side of that team is the defensive side of the ball. So those guys probably need some rest too. But I would say that Ben Roethlisberger is 38 years old. And he's been playing for like more than 15 years in football. I'm not sure what Swaggoo thinks a few more reps is going to do for Ben Roethlisberger, but he is who he is. That team is who they are who they are. I think that rest is much more important, getting them healthy and getting them feeling right going into the playoffs, because a quarter of play is not going to change Ben into a different quarterback. And it's fortunate for them that the second half, particularly the fourth quarter, that looked really good. So they can go in on that high note. Ben Roethlisberger was attacking down the field. They were catching the ball, making plays. So I would be nervous to put them back out there for another quarter and expose Ben to the risk of injury.
Let him stake it up.
Yeah, let's not forget.
They got a good taste in their mouth right now. They had a Michelin 3-star meal at the in the fourth quarter. You're going to put them back out there, and they're going to get some In-N-Out burger, and then you're going to have to put them on the sideline. It's going to be a problem.
Okay, we already got off to a good start. Graz, I got to ask you, you covered this game for the Steelers. You saw the comeback last week. From what you saw, does this move surprise you at all?
Oh, no. Look, last week, talking to people around that team, they were on a 3-game losing streak, and everybody was saying, look, Tomlin's trying to keep this business as usual. He doesn't like, to panic anybody. They're trying to do things they would normally be doing this time of year to get ready for the playoffs, and this is one of them. Tomlin has a history of sitting Big Ben and others down in Week 17 when things are all locked up. There's no way to get the 1 seed. There's no real differences here between the 2 or the 3 seed. So this makes a lot of sense. I wouldn't be surprised if other guys on the Steelers got some rest as well. Look, they are what they are. They're going into the playoffs with the team they have. They look good in the second half against the Colts. They looked awful in every other game they played in December. The problems aren't going away. They're not getting Devin Bush, who's their Gary Bertier on defense. He's not coming back. So they're still going to have issues as they go into the playoffs. If they get Big Ben some rest, then they'll be in the best position to take advantage of their opportunity.
Everybody's bringing the references today. Okay, all right, we're just getting started, and I want to talk also about the ramifications. Yeah, exactly. I want to talk about what the ramifications of this decision are. There are 5 teams in the AFC that enter the final week of the season at 10-5, and there are playoff spots to be grabbed. Our FPI sees the Colts, the Ravens, and the Titans as the favorites this weekend, while the Browns and the Dolphins enter as underdogs, but clearly sitting Ben is going to help with Cleveland. So this becomes very interesting. Graz, the big story from the Browns last week was the wide receivers going on the COVID list. What's the latest there that you're hearing?
Look, I mean, there are people in that building that are very annoyed about what happened. The wide receivers who weren't allowed to play felt like they should have been, right? That it was unjust that they sat them down. There are other people in the locker room who felt like are annoyed at them for putting themselves in that position where they end up being identified as high-risk close contacts and aren't allowed to play. So, Cleveland is bothered by the fact that they didn't have their team on the field to play the Jets last week and didn't have the opportunity to be at their best in a game that could have locked up the playoff spot already. So they're going to be fired up. They have a lot to play for. They're trying to make the postseason, and they have all kinds of motivation there. But, it's definitely a situation in Cleveland where they felt like something was taken from them last week, and they want to atone for that.
And, Neek, we've talked all week about whether or not if they lose, is this team a failure? I think everybody agrees they're not a failure. Or is it disappointing? Yeah, that'll be a problem. But I have this question for you. What does it say about the Browns if they lose this game?
They ain't ready yet. What happened last week, I understand that there's some significant explanations for why they lost, but you were still playing the Jets. And no disrespect to the Jets, they have some good players, but I think that's a game that you should win because you have stakes. You're playing for something. And that was just the Jets' second win of the year. So, all right, we'll let you off the hook for that one. But now you're going to play a team that isn't putting their best foot forward. I understand Mike Tomlin said the standard is the standard, and they're going to put the guys out there and try to uphold that Steelers standard, but they're putting worse players out there. And if you can't beat them coming off a loss to the Jets, we'll say they improved, but they ain't there yet.
RC?
Yeah. No, that's real. Dom hit it and said everything you could possibly say about that situation. You can't lose to the Jets, and then you lose to the Mason Rudolph-led Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, if you're Mason Rudolph, I bet it would be super cool to knock that team out of the playoffs for sure. That's what you would want to do. So Mason Rudolph's going to play extremely hard. But think about this, guys. This is like going and play the Golden State Warriors. I'm not saying that that's where the Steelers are. With Klay Thompson at the 2 or with Kelly Oubre at the 2. And if you watch any basketball, Kelly Oubre at the 2 ain't dropping dimes and dropping buckets like what? I'm just saying. Like Klay Thompson. And so if you are the Browns, you have to go out and win this game. You have to go out and finish. And you need to show that you can at some point beat one of the big dogs in your division, even if their starting quarterback isn't playing.
Only been 2 or 3 games already taking Oubre to task. He's dunking. It's only been a couple games. But you know what? I got to get you guys to the Packers because this is another big storyline that we saw yesterday in the NFL. To the NFC, the Packers. Now, remember, they can clinch home field advantage this weekend. This is what pregame looked like Sunday night before the Titans took on the Packers. And we found this interesting. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the mindset of playing in elements just like this.
I don't know about anybody else, but I keep telling myself that I am less miserable than they are. And I think there's something to that. There's something to practicing outside and just being around the cold and doing things in that environment that, you know, you just kind of deal with it. It's a mindset. Other teams come in, you just give them a reason to start letting that those feelings creep in, that, man, this sucks, man. I can't wait to get on the bus and get out of here and get back home and get in a warm environment and just give them a reason to start having those thoughts when you can score early.
Look at that hat. Look at Dez putting it on. I got to love that. All right, I'm going to come to you about that hat. But, Neek, I first want to ask you about your reaction to Aaron Rodgers' comments.
Yeah, I mean, the hat is fantastic. You look like my Santa. I love it. I appreciate the gifts that you dropped off to my kids last week. And I think Aaron Rodgers hit the nail on the head, man. I think he is absolutely right. It's about being a little less uncomfortable than the other guys, because Aaron said the other team is like, I can't wait till we get on that bus. I promise you, many of the Packers are also like, I can't wait till we get in that locker room, but I can wait just a little bit longer than those other guys. So I think that he's right. It's just about giving your opponent one more thing to think about. Like, you got to think about covering Adams. You got to think about beating those corners. You got to think about blocking the Smith brothers. You got to think about Aaron Rodgers coming after. You got to think about that running attack. And you also got to think about the weather. You also got to think about perhaps potentially some snow. It's just one more thing to think about. It's not a huge factor, but it's something that's on the minds of the players that you would assume the Packers, since they live in that mess, will be comfortable with and not think much of it.
So, RC, who's the best equipped to go in and take down the Packers if home field goes through Green Bay?
You know what? I feel like we're starting to talk about the Packers like they're unbeatable all of a sudden. Like, there's no team that can go in there and win. But this is a flawed team, and there are some good teams in the NFC. I think when I look at Seattle, playing better defensively, getting Chris Carson back healthy, and also having a quarterback who has gone to the East Coast and won, but a guy in Russell Wilson who could kind of match Aaron Rodgers with some of those wild plays and some of those super talented, elite-level quarterback football plays, you need to win there. And who's to say the same? That because if it's snowing out there and they force Sean Payton to give the ball to Alvin Kamara, can't run the football, rush the passer defensively, and play tight man-to-man coverage like we saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do early on in the season. Oh, by the way, and the Bucs have a quarterback who's played in miserable weather his entire career. And so do I think the Packers are the lead or the head dog in the NFC? Absolutely, but there are teams that are equipped and able to go in there, and even if it's only 3 hours of misery, figure out a way to win in the snow, in the cold, against Aaron Rodgers.
You got to have a hat like Dez. That's what you got to have. So who's your pick, Dez, to go in and take them down if they can?
Guys, I think I would go with the Seattle Seahawks. I think, you know, RC, you hit on the head when you talked about their defense. Their defense is getting better. Russell Wilson is a winner. He can win in any climate, any region, any condition. You know, he can get out there and get it done. People talk about Tampa and they talk about Tom Brady, but that's just one guy. Just think about this. These guys, every day when they go to practice, they slide their feet in some flip-flops, they get in their convertible, and they drive to practice. Well, these guys, they're not made for that type of weather. Believe me, I was up there. I understand what it's like to have to go and you know, sub-zero weather and go out there and play. So I would say that the Seattle Seahawks will probably be the team that's most equipped. You get the Saints. Listen, Drew Brees, Hall of Famer, I get that. But that's a dome team, guys. You talking about going up to Lambeau Field in late December or January at this point? You know how freezing cold it is? So I will go with the Seahawks.
All right, so you played there, right? You've had to play in the snow and the cold. Dez, what's it like? How bad does it get?
Hey, these guys know. Check this out, Ryan. They've played in cold weather regions, too. They understand what it means to, like, get up in the morning, start your car, then go back in the house for, like, 10 minutes while it gets warm. Yeah. Then you go out there, and you have to scrape the windshield, get the frost off the windshield. That's a whole different mentality. So when you're up there now, you live in it, you practice in it, you play in it, you become more acclimated to playing in that type of weather And, brother, I'm telling you, we had a game against the 49ers, man. It was a playoff game. And it was probably the most miserable conditions I've ever played in, because it's one thing to be cold, but it's a completely different ball game when you're wet and cold. And it was a wet game. Yeah. It was nasty. It was cold. And we ended up winning that game. But that was the most miserable game that I ever played in. And we got that dub.
RC, you got a story?
Yeah, man, you know, Lambeau was like the last field I played at. And so it was a big thing for me. I had covered every single stadium. It was snowing there. I was like, I'm going to make a big play. And I didn't wear gloves at the time. So it's a field goal. We block the field goal. I scoop it. I see Will Gay behind me. I pitch the ball to Will Gay, and he dropped it. And so Will Gay drops the ball. Coach LeBeau, who never cusses, who never screams, comes over to me. He's all mad, like, RC, we could have changed the game. I was like, I know, coach, but this the last one, and I'm at Lambeau. And so, you know, whereas Dez and those guys say you actually get acclimated to the cold, you don't ever get acclimated to it. You just tolerate it because you live there.
Neek, what do you got?
Nothing, man. I played there before, and I wiped it off from my memory banks because it was frigid.
What happened?
And I didn't like it. It was terrible. I mean, we lost. We lost my man Joe. Oh, you ain't got to show people catching passes on me. That's terrible. I was going to blame it all on Joe Flacco.
Is that you?
Because he threw a bunch of interceptions. But apparently, I didn't play well either. So maybe it wasn't Joe's fault. Maybe it was my fault. Oh, man, y'all dirty for that. Y'all couldn't find one tackle.
Right there, you were getting beat again.
PBU. Y'all couldn't find me doing something good in the whole game? Jeez. Ryan, it's on you. Greenberg wouldn't do that to me, Smith. Greenberg wouldn't do that to me.
I have no control over that. I have no control over that. You know what? I'll try to put my foot down next hour.
I know. You lucky. You're lucky I'm in
DC. All right, let's get right to this, because this is big news coming in this morning on ESPN+. Check this out. Todd McShay's latest 2021 draft ranking has a shakeup. Trevor Lawrence remains the top player, not surprising considering Lawrence is McShay's top quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck in 2012. But here's the thing. BYU's Zach Wilson overtakes Justin Fields as the second quarterback at eighth overall. Wilson completed 61% of his deep balls this season. Best among qualified FBS players in the last 15 years. Then there's Justin Fields. He falls to ninth overall in McShay's rankings after his performance against Northwestern. Now Fields is going to get the chance to improve his draft stock against Clemson on Friday night. And then we take a look at this. Oh, actually, here are our guys right here. Mark Sanchez, Dez, back with us. Guys, okay, we look at this, and Dez, I'll start with you. What do you think has contributed most to Fields' declining draft stock?
I believe the expectations coming to the 2020 season were so high for Justin Fields that he was on the same level as far as the chances of winning the Heisman as Clemson's quarterback Trevor Lawrence. And that's huge. When you're talking about Trevor Lawrence, the projected number one overall pick, and you're putting this other quarterback on the same pedestal with him as far as winning the nation's most outstanding player award, then expectations were high. And he didn't reach those expectations, Ryan. He just hasn't had a great season. When you played against teams that had a competitive pulse, like in Indiana, or in the Big Ten championship game, like Northwestern, he didn't play well. Actually, he played so bad that they won those games despite the way he played, not because of how he played. So when you're looking at a guy, he's not playing well in the big games, then that's going to knock his draft stock down some. And I think that's what he's experiencing now. So this game against Clemson is a huge money game for Justin Fields.
Yeah, if he can really turn it around in this game, you have to imagine the draft is going to look a lot different. So, Mark, coming into this season, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, they were neck and neck. What do you make of the notion that Zach Wilson could actually be drafted ahead of Fields at this point?
I saw what you just said about Todd McShay. I love Todd McShay. I think he does a great job evaluating quarterbacks. But hold on, Todd. Okay, we got to look at some of these stats now. Justin Fields, this kid's only lost one game as a starter. I need a notepad to go back and look at all these kids' stats because he's so damn good. Listen, he's 56 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, one loss as a starter, 73% completions. He's had two bad games. So I don't know if it's totally fair to evaluate him on a game-by-game basis. Remember, he had an incredible year last year. He's had two rough games this year. And if you're going to put Zach Wilson ahead of him, you got to go through their whole body of work, right? And not use recency bias with Dwayne Haskins or other players to let that cloud your judgment. A fair comparison for Wilson, he had Let's see. Four games. Utah, Tennessee, USC, and Washington Huskies last year. He threw 5 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He played against the Chanticleers this year in Coastal Carolina. Not his best performance, so we got to factor that in. I don't know if it's fair to say he's jumped Justin Fields just yet. I think that's way too early. And if we're going to compare him to Dwayne Haskins, I think that's just lazy and unfair.
All right. So let's talk really quickly about that, Dez. What do you make of those comparisons on the field?
Well, first of all, I don't think that these GMs or anybody like that are comparing him to Dwayne Haskins. But when you're talking about drafting a guy number one, then, you know, you have to factor in everything possible. And if he comes from a program where they don't have a history of developing players at his position where they will be successful at the next level, then you will be a complete idiot not to look at that factor also. I'm not saying that's going to weigh as heavy as other factors and statistics, but you must look at that if you're going to draft him in the first round. Now, if he's going to be a third-round pick or fourth-round pick, that's a different ball game. But you have to look at the development players. The one thing that I love about Nick Saban and what they do there in Alabama is not that they get these 4 or 5 recruits. It's that they develop these players, and it translates well on the field, even as freshmen, sophomores. And then when they go to the next level, you can see where they have a certain measure of success. If you're a GM, you have to look at this guy and his and what their pedigree is as far as translating their developing their players where it would translate to success at the level in which you're going to draft them.
All right, we'll talk more about this in the next hour. We've got a lot more coming up on the show, including this coming up. Brian Flores has made it clear who's going to be his starter on Sunday, but one of our analysts says it's the wrong decision. Find out why. Plus, we'll talk about Bill Belichick. He took his frustration out on the phone Monday night, but perhaps he should just look at the man in the mirror. I'll explain. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time. We'll talk Grand Graziano on this one. Who is the only visiting quarterback to lose multiple playoff games at Lambeau Field? Think about that, Dan, and we will be right back with the answer.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by USAA Insurance, auto, renters, and home insurance. Well, we're going to give Graz a little bit more time to think about the sneaky Hembo here. Who is the only visiting quarterback to lose multiple playoff games at Lambeau Field? We'll get his answer on the other side of the break. But in the meantime, this is coming up too. Why the frustrating season in New England has nothing to do with Belichick the coach, but might have everything to do with Belichick the general manager.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up and a little sneaky Hembo time. We gave Graz a little bit extra time, so this should be a slam dunk for him. Graz, who is the only visiting quarterback to lose multiple playoff games at Lambeau Field?
I hate to do it because I love the guy. He's one of our guys. But Matt Hasselbeck had a rough time there. And we know the famous one about we're going to take the ball, we're going to score. But that wasn't the only game Matt Hasselbeck lost at Lambeau Field in the playoffs. Matt Hasselbeck is the answer.
What? And you're right. Matt Hasselbeck.
I know.
2003, 2007. You got a little applause, a little polite applause from Hembo there. It's the extra time that did it, obviously. Good job, Graz. I got to give that one to you, man. All right, well, now it's time for RC's tweets.
It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweets.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a straight face.
Okay, so Greedy's not here. We're going to do it a little bit differently today. And let's figure this out. We're going to put a little remix on this and have a different person read your tweets. I'm up first. So let's start with this, RC. Holy hole in the wall, big man. Right out of bat. Just popped the ball out, and it's back on the spot of the fumble. If that's not the most Jets way to win yourself out of a new QB and the most Browns way to keep the 17-year playoff streak alive, playoff let streak alive, oh, 2020, you son of a biscuit eater, you. RC, explain.
I must admit, that was like the best I've ever heard it read. I'm sorry, Greedy, that was really good. But this is the first time ever in football that a play happens and both fan bases are screaming, no! If you're the Jets, you're like, oh, no. Don't knock the ball out. Let them score. We still got a chance at Trevor. And if you're the Cleveland Browns, you was like, I know in the hell we did not come to MetLife and lose to the New York Jets. But both of them happened. That's what 2020 is. It's ebbs and flows. It's ups and downs. It's Greeny reading your tweets sometimes. And then it's Ryan Smith. That's the way the year has worked. And listen, since you said we're going to switch it up a little bit, I got to go to my dog, Graz, because without Graz, there is no Culture Wednesday. So the next tweet is yours, my dog.
I don't know how I'm going to follow Ryan, but I'm just going to play it straight. This one said, looks like somebody or somebody's watched Rodgers and Adams cut the fool last night. Allen and Diggs are showing their whole tail right now. I mean, Randy Moss, moon the crowd type action. Man, golly, they are cutting up. Yeah, this bro. Looks like Tecmo Bowl.
This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to read your, to explain your tweets. Y'all remember Tecmo Bowl? I used to play with the San Francisco 49ers because you could drop Joe Montana back from the 50-yard line to the end zone and then throw it 100 dang yards to Jerry Rice. And that's what it's starting to look like. And you know what? I can tell that the Bills were watching the Green Bay Packers like Orange Juice Jones. Not Orange Juice, Orange Juice Jones. And you know what he said? He said, I saw you and him walking in the ring. Well, Josh and Stefan saw Aaron and Devontae playing in the snow. And they wanted to make sure that all the people knew that they could do the same dang thing. And listen, it can't be Culture Wednesday if my dog Dom don't get his chance. And for Dom, I got a special one. I made sure to put in the reference I knew he'd get and knew he'd understand.
Well, I'll get them all the time. I ain't missed one yet, just like you ain't missed one of mine. But I can't read like them, so I'm gonna read this one like Greeny. The Steelers got me feeling like Quincy McCall tore his ACL playing for the Lakers all over again. Least he had Tyra Banks in Monica came to see him. What the Steelers gonna get? A first round exit and an offseason to figure out Ben's $41 million cap hit. Loving football.
Hey, listen, Love and Basketball is one of my favorite movies, right? Oh. It's one of the greatest of all time, Dom. And y'all remember Quincy McCall was finally getting his life right. He was doing well, like when the Steelers were 11-0. I was feeling real good. He playing for the Lakers. Now he found him a spot. He tore his ACL. But guess what? At the time, Quincy McCall was engaged to Tyra Banks. I don't remember what her name was on the show. And then Monica came all the way back from Barcelona. He ends up dumping Tyra Banks and marrying Monica. You can't lose. Tyra Banks annihilated it, but not the Steelers. The Steelers started 11-0. They had us believing. You were feeling really good about it. And then you come down off with a dunk and tear your ACL. You lose three in a row. You're down to the Colts early in the first half. And this team doesn't look like they're going to get to the Super Bowl. Doesn't look like they're going to get to the AFC Championship. So all they're going to be left with is an early exit and trying to figure out if Ben Roethlisberger will be their quarterback last year, because he count $41 million against the cap. And that was the best Explain Your Tweet segment ever. And it's all because of y'all, my dogs.
Oh, see? That's perfect. Now we got a new template going forward. Although I love it when Greeny does it. It's just priceless. Nick, that was perfect. All right. So let's talk about the Patriots. Speaking of somebody who's not going to the playoffs, Bill Belichick's draft picks with the Patriots earned a league-high 73 Pro Bowl selections through 2013. But here's the thing. He's not drafted a Pro Bowl position player in seven drafts since. On the quarterback front, New England's returns weren't great in the trades of Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo. And then Belichick is also whipped in the draft and free agency on Stidham and Newton, respectively. And then the Patriots are one of the slowest teams in the league. They've only had a skill position player carry the ball at 20 miles per hour three times this season, tied for the fewest in the league per Next Gen Stats. Here was Belichick on WEEI.
There are a lot of circumstances that went into this year's team, this year's roster, and so forth. And I would say that there'll be a lot of things that'll be different next year. We have to try to evaluate that and figure out going forward what's the best thing to do for our football team, our franchise. And so that's what we'll try to do. That includes everybody.
So we wanted to talk about this because of really what he said. It's going to be a new team next year. And we want to take this from a particular perspective. And I know we've been talking about how, Patriots have struggled, tough year, Tom Brady. It's not about that. This is about Bill Belichick, the GM. And RC, when we were in our meeting earlier today, you were talking about Belichick, and you made this point of some people are better at doing a job than preparing an organization. What did you mean by that?
Yeah. And so what I mean, obviously people are going to look at it and say, okay, he prepares the organization every time to win. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about setting the table for the organization. You look early on in his career, he had Scott Pioli there, and then you kind of saw them win certain ways. You saw them win without having high draft picks and top players at positions on the outside. You saw them win because they had Tom Brady, and a lot of people are going to point to what Tom Brady was always able to do by taking less money and allowing Bill Belichick to build a team. What he also did was make everybody on the offense better. Bill Belichick kind of settled in to liking a certain type of player or feeling like a certain type of player was good enough. He never advanced his scouting model as it went to offensive players. And now we're in this position where the best thing Bill Belichick does is when he has you, he can pick the best guy on that roster and play the best, get them to play the best football. Now you don't have those guys. Now you don't have those talents. Now you don't have those measurables. And it's because you bought the groceries, Bill Belichick. You set the table. And now you are not eating.
Graz, what do you think?
Well, I disagree with my friend RC because I think that to look at this one year as evidence that Bill Belichick doesn't know how to buy the groceries, I just think is overlooks the previous 20. I think part of Bill Belichick's Hall of Fame case is his history as a roster builder. And I think one of the great accomplishments of Bill Belichick is that he has managed to defeat the NFL salary cap. The entire system the league is based on is set up to prevent what Bill Belichick has done for the past 20 years, consistently fielding 10, 11, 12 win teams and winning multiple Super Bowls. He's able to negotiate contracts in ways that, get guys to take less to come. Famously, Tom Brady, almost every single time until the very end, and negotiate in ways like little things, like getting guys to take incentive-laden deals that they might not have accepted from other teams. So we have what we're dealing with here is a bad year. And he's talking about it as something that he felt like he saw coming and that he'll have to figure out going forward. Obviously, the opt-outs on defense we've talked about a million times, but I think 1 year is not enough for me to convince me that Bill Belichick doesn't know how to put an NFL-quality roster together.
And, Dez, I hear this conversation, and then I think about the conversation a lot of people have been having all year. Okay, Tom Brady's gone. This team's failing. And that sort of plays into part of this discussion. But it begs the question, does this season prove that a great quarterback matters more than a great coach?
Well, I think that it does show that a great player matters extremely, is more important than a great coach because of what he has to do on the field as far as execution is concerned. You can be the greatest coach in the world. You can drop the greatest plays offensively or defensively. But if you don't have a person in that position that can go out there and execute those plays at a high level on a consistent basis, then it's not going to work for you. You're not going to have the Hall of Fame career that Bill Belichick has. Now, I think that Bill, he deserves the benefit of the doubt. Listen, this guy didn't have the luxury like of Coach Boone, who went from the Rev to Sunshine when the Rev wasn't playing right. He didn't hit on Cam Newton. Yeah, how was he to know, RC, that Cam Newton would be out there on the field playing like a alley cat coat wearing, hush puppy shoe wearing Joker, you know? Okay. He couldn't go anywhere from that. Was this guy started to play the way he played, he was already married to him. I think he'll make some moves in the offseason and that he'll start to correct these issues that they had this season. Bill Belichick deserves the benefit of the doubt. The Patriots will be okay.
Oh, my God. It doesn't get any better than that. All right, fellas. And by the way, a reminder, look at what is back on Friday night. It's the MegaCast. You can watch the college football semifinals on ESPN, and you can have all of these other options as well on the ESPN family of networks. Well, coming up, Brian Flores has made it clear who is his starter on Sunday. But one of our analysts says it's the wrong call. Find out why.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's the first of our New Year's 6 games, and it's top 10 matchup. It should be a great one. Heisman finalist Kyle Trask leading number 7 Florida against number 6 Oklahoma. The Big 12 champs in the Cotton Bowl. Our coverage begins tonight, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN and the app. So we are back with Run the Hurry Up. Graziano, jump in with us. What is the latest on Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp?
Rams placed Cooper Kupp on the reserve COVID-19 list. The question now is why? Was he a guy who tested positive? If that's the case, he has to miss 10 days and obviously won't play Sunday. If he was a high-risk close contact of someone who tested positive, he has to miss 5 days and could potentially be available Sunday. Rams already without Jared Goff, Darrell Henderson, possibly Cam Akers in a game they pretty much have to win. The team they're playing is the Arizona Cardinals, and Kyler Murray, their quarterback, injured his leg in their last game. They're hopeful that he'll be able to play Sunday. The Cardinals absolutely have to win. They can't get in with a loss as the Rams could. But Kyler Murray, we'll see how he does in practice the next couple days, how he's able to move around, how that leg holds up. Again, some optimism in Arizona that he'll be able to go at this point. And then just to put a bow on the Dwayne Haskins situation, he passed through waivers unclaimed, which means he is now a free agent, free to sign with any team. The 2 years and $4.3 million guaranteed dollars remaining on his rookie contract, Washington has to pay that. Whoever signs Haskins now will do it with a blank slate and a contract of far less significance, certainly, than the one that he got as a first-round draft pick.
Okay, and with some teams expressing interest, we certainly hope he turns it around. Love to see him on a team next year. All right, Dan, thanks so much. And now it's time for Answer the Question.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering this. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
That never gets old. Neek, it's time to answer the question. I'm going to ask Neek a series of hard-hitting questions, and he must answer them. So let's start with this. Will Carson Wentz be on the Eagles roster next season?
No, I don't think he will. I think this situation right now, it's run its course, and I think that there's going to be a scapegoat for this season. It's not going to be Harry Roseman. It's not going to be Doug Peterson. It's going to be Carson Wentz. He's going to be the one out, especially since Jalen Hurts has come in and given him somewhat of a spark. He hasn't showed that he's going to be a star in this league necessarily, but this team seems to be better with Jalen Hurts, and I feel like they can't have both of them next year. A throuple is one of those things that seems like a good idea until you actually experience it in practice. It is too difficult to pull off. You need one person, a relationship between the quarterback and the team, and I think that Carson Wentz is the odd man out. He's going to be looking for a new suitor this offseason.
Okay, a lot of teams might have interest there. So for one quarterback question to another, will Cam Newton be on a roster period next season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Cam Newton showed that he was willing to take league minimum last year because he wanted to reestablish how good he was. So I don't see what's changed. I think he still seems motivated. All his words suggest that he wants to come back, and I don't think that it's about money for him necessarily. And I'm not 100% sure that he won't end up back in New England. It seemed like what Bill Belichick's comments suggested and what everyone around there suggested, they really like having Cam Newton there, but they had issues around him and they had issues on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know if I agree with that. Cam Newton himself was a big part of the problem, but I could see him back in New England or somewhere else as a backup. He'll certainly be on the team next year if that's what he wants to do.
It will be very interesting if he ends up back with the Patriots. Finally, which AFC 10-5 team do you have missing the playoffs?
I mean, it hurts me to say it, but I think it's the Dolphins. It's as impressive as what Chris Greer and Brian Flores have done down there, they're way ahead of schedule, considering that they were awful last year. So bad that I thought they were tanking at the beginning of the season. They were getting blown all the way out. Now to being a team that is playoff caliber. They may not make it, but they are good enough to be in the playoffs. And I made the mistake of disagreeing with Brian Flores in the past when I thought he was tanking, but he clearly wasn't. But I kind of disagree with him again now, because it seems like they're leaning towards Tua being the quarterback for this particular game. Maybe he's the quarterback for the future. I hope he is. I'd like to see once he's fully recovered a year away from that injury, has some time in that system. But I'm not sure that he's the right guy for this particular game. They need to beat the Buffalo Bills. And right now, the Bills have the best offense in the league. They're playing as well as anybody, including Kansas City, in this past month. So if you're going to beat the Bills, you're going to need to go with, in my mind, Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's high risk, high reward. You could get blown out with Ryan Fitzpatrick because bad Fitzmagic might show up or Fitztragic might show up. But I think with Tua, you're going to play within the confines of a particular offense. You're not going to blow anybody out. He's not going to make a bunch of mistakes. It reminds me of when Drew Brees was hurt and we were deciding between Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill. When they were playing the Chiefs, I felt like you got to go with Jameis Winston. But in this situation, I think Fitzmagic is the guy that you have to give a shot to get into the playoffs.
That is very interesting. You are the first person, we've been talking about this all week, you're the first person to mention that Fitz should start, which I think is really fascinating. Okay, so Dez, you're from South Florida area.
When you said it back,
area.
It made me feel like I was
that?
Wrong.
What do you say, Ryan?
What do you think about that, that Fitzpatrick should start?
You know, this is the deal. I live in Miami, right? And I actually sent out a tweet after the last game. I know you guys think that RC's the only one on the show with a Twitter account, but I have one too. And I said you can pretty much count on one hand with two fingers missing the number of coaches that could actually shuffle quarterbacks not only throughout the season, but in and out of an actual
what
game.
What happened to your
fingers? And that everybody's okay with it. Now, with that being said, I believe that they're sending a message. The message that Chris Greer and Brian Flores sends to his team is that we're always going to go with the best guys, going to give us the best opportunity to win our game. And they're going to judge that based on what they see throughout the week in practice and what they see on film. So I'm completely fine with him starting the first round pick in Tua
or the journeyman in Fitzmagic. One way or another, their message is clear. They're going to go with the guy who's going to give them the best chance to win, no matter if you're a 16-year veteran or a first-round draft pick. And I have to respect that.
But, RC, the talk has been all week. Well, Tua's been the starter. We leave him in. We've been winning with this mixture of the starter and the reliever. What do you think about Fitzpatrick being the guy to start?
Listen, I don't necessarily think Fitzpatrick should be the guy to start. I believe in Brian Flores. Now, listen, I was a dude that when they made the switch, I asked the question why. I wanted to know what the reasons were behind it. And then when you saw Tua get replaced against the Denver Broncos, it goes to mind, too. So you don't think he can win a game like this? But then when you watch it, I've kind of figured it out. Brian Flores believes that Tua Tagovailoa plays within the confines of the offense. He protects the football and allows you to stay in games. He will not play you out of the game. But when they get behind and when you feel like it can be your back against the wall, you put Fitzmagic in because you know he isn't scared to push the envelope. And you know at those times, because you're already losing, you're in a situation where it doesn't matter what he does. Listen, I grew up with two homeboys, right? I had one homeboy. He christened my first child. You know why? Because he was responsible. He did the right things. I knew if something happened to me and he had to take my kids, he would do the right thing by them. And then I had a homeboy who walked down the street with me to every fight. My homeboy christened my children. He wasn't there for those, but I had my other one, and every fight he was there with me. That's what Brian Flores got. He got somebody that's going to christen his children and somebody that's going to be at every fight. You need them at different times, and Brian Flores uses them perfectly.
We all have
respect
that.
Magic is the fighter.
He's yep. probably using that exact exactly. same example
hey,
in the locker
Ryan,
room.
Ryan Smith, hold on, Ryan Smith. One thing, I just can't look at Dez and not hear what he said last segment. That man said that Cam Newton had an alley cat coat, and then he called him a joker.
Puppy shoes.
He said it's cold
to we'll come back to that. All right, this program, you know, we want to give it to you. Today, we'll have the Duke Mayo, but we'll have Duke's Mayo Bowl. Sam Hartman leads the fast-paced, high-powered Wake Forest offense against 3-3 Wisconsin. Badgers redshirt freshman quarterback Graham Mertz will start this one. That's noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on ESPN and the app. And coming up, why the pressure for Baker Mayfield to win on Sunday increased considerably yesterday, and he had absolutely nothing to do with it.
2 days to the college football playoff semifinals, New Year's Day on ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.